This week we have a verse that comes from the book of 1 Corinthians. It's from chapter 10 and near the end, verse 31. Paul is in the midst of an argument that's taking place in the church over whether you can do something or not do something. Have you ever had that argument within yourself? Whether you can do something or not do something? You want to stay relevant to our society, but you don't want to step over into sinful patterns that are going to grab a hold of you. What? How does it go? And so Paul, in the midst of that, offers this statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. He says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." See, the key in that is this going to bring glory to God? He said in other places, "I have total liberty. I can do whatever I want. But I don't want to come enslaved to something." Does this thing bring glory to God? Is it good for the kingdom? Is it good for the Lord if I'm involved in this? And so it's a great thing to be looking at. But whatever we do, we're to do it for the glory of God. So we need to understand. Well, I want to ask you a question. How do you give glory to God? The heavens declare the glory of God. They're the work of His fingers, and they shout of God's greatness and God's power. I've been reading an astrophysicist. He's written a couple of books. He's a believer. And as he talks about the preciseness of the universe, just amazing. He basically said, for us to have life on planet Earth the way that we had, we need the expanse and the greatness of the universe that we have, or the elements that are necessary for life could not exist. Isn't that amazing? And as he looks at everything, he just talks about the greatness of God in producing all this. We understand it. And they give God glory. Animals act like animals and they give God glory. Plants act like plants and they give God glory because they do the things that God made them to do. Only angels and humans have the ability to go against God and do things that are not for His glory. And so how can we give God glory? Because our first parents didn't. They chose to walk another way. Their first son killed their second son. He walked another way. And the story of the first 11 chapters of Genesis is the story of people who chose not to give God glory, but instead walked in total selfishness. And what we ended up with were marauding gangs who killed one another, were just terrible to one another. I seem to see some of that kind of stuff taking place today. But it's where the human heart goes when the humans have not come into relationship with God. It goes to selfishness, and selfishness goes into violence. Well, how do we give God glory? Well, let me just share with you. There are a lot of ways. Can I just share with you a couple? One of the first ways is by our testimony. Moses Palos, who many of you know, a friend of mine who is a leader in India, he oversees 1,000 churches in Body of Christ Ministries and was called of the Lord to go and speak in, they change states, they change languages. Speak in another state, had to learn a whole brand new language to share the gospel. And Moses Palos said when he came here, one of the things that shocked him the most about American Christians is the lack of testimony that he hears from them. They don't talk much about what God does. And he said to me, "So does God not do anything in America?" I thought that was an interesting comment. One of the ways that we give God glory is by telling what God has done in our lives. Jacob was old. He had seen Joseph finally and was reunited with him in Egypt. And in that setting, as he's blessing his children, he makes this major statement. Listen to what he says. "God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walk, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day." And this is right getting close to when he's going to die. "The angel, the messenger, who's redeemed me from all evil." Because you remember, he was kind of an evil guy. Do you remember in his selfishness what he did? He swindled his brother out of his birthright, swindled his brother out of his blessing. And then, you know, whatever you do, whatever you sow, you reap. And so he swindled his brother out of those, and he goes to with his uncle Laban, and his uncle Laban swindles him by giving him the wrong girl to be married to. Remember that? And he did other things. But God changed him around. And then he had major loss. His brother had the loss of the birthright. You know what he experienced? The loss of a son. It's a terrible thing. His favorite wife, he had four, wanting the best thing in the world, but they did it. And whenever you have that, by the way, you always have problems. Whenever you have more than one wife, you have problems. I imagine it's the same way if you have more than one husband. But if you have, you know, God made us, Jesus said what marriage is. A man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one, one flesh. And what God's put together, let no man tear apart. So he told us what marriage is. It's one man and one woman coming together. That's God's design for marriage that Jesus amplified. And so you have that, and when you don't follow God's way, you have problems. And so they had major problems. So now his favorite wife dies when she's given in childbirth to giving Benjamin birth. And then Joseph, you remember Joseph? His brothers sell him into Egypt and told a story that he was killed by a wild animal. So at the end of his life, as he's with Joseph, he actually is putting his hands on Joseph's boys, Ephraim and Manasseh, and blessing them. And he says, the God whom my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, walked, the God who has fed me all my life to this day, and fed me is just a metaphor. He's taken care of me. He's provided for me. Then he says, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. You understand? Taken me, I was evil. I had the results of evil, but he's redeemed me from that. Because now he's back in the presence of his son, Joseph, who he loved very much. One of the ways that we glorify God is by giving testimony. You want to share with people what God's done in your life. By activity, we give God glory. Jesus said one day in Matthew chapter 5, as he's speaking, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your, what? Good works. And glorify your Father in heaven. So one of the ways that we give God glory is by doing things that reflect the Father in helping other people. Giving a cup of cold water in God's name. Providing food for someone. And those are all, again, metaphors for seeing a need in a person's life and going to help that person with that need. And so not paying somebody to do it. Not throwing some money at them, but doing something for them. Another way that we give God glory is by our uniqueness. In Colossians, Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, and whatever you do, do heartily as to the Lord and not to men. And that's how we're supposed to work. We're not supposed to just work when the boss is there. We work all the time well. Because that's what we do as believers. And he says, knowing that the Lord, that from the Lord you will receive a reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. We serve Jesus. And we need to do things like we're doing it for Him. Even though you're doing it for an earthly boss, you do it like you're doing it for Him. And we need to do it with the hardiness, with the strength, with the power that we would if we're doing it. So if you're a student, guess how you ought to study? Like Jesus is your teacher. And you need to do the best that you possibly can. If you're working, you need to be doing the best that you possibly can. Why? Because it's a reflection of God. And we give Him glory as we do things heartily for Him. And the last thing I just want to share, there are other ones, but it's being who you are in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul writes, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, but you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. You don't belong to yourself. You thought you did. That's why we're selfish. Because we think we belong to ourselves. But you really belong to the Lord. And He made you, and He redeemed you. And so you need to be, again, walking your life in such a way as who you are in Jesus Christ. So, whatever you do, even if it's simple things like eating and drinking, do everything that you do for God's glory. Wherever you are, you manifest Him.